Ryan is my resident laugh guy, right? So if I'm hanging out to the dry, Ryan, come on, baby. Pull me through, babe. Okay. All right. So for me, it's always an honor. Well, I don't even remember the last time that I actually spoke here. It has to be when I was in Egypt. Because I feel like, you know, during worship this morning, it was one of those things where I felt like that it's been that long since I've been here. Now, we were here through some events and stuff like that. We've been here. But as far as me speaking, it's been double digits, long time. And so it's like, you know, I'm trying to recall where the beginning was and all these types of things. And I think for me personally, I think to eliminate all of that other stuff, I'm just really, my wife and I are just absolutely honored and privileged to be here with you guys this morning. You guys are family. And that's the tough thing is it's hard for me sometimes because of that particular emotion that I have, especially, you know, during worship this morning. That light is reflecting off my forehead, and it's causing me to, like, I'm going, okay, did I bring my sunglasses? I could actually, Rayo, you have this problem when you're up here, man? It's like, not saying anything, Rayo, but nonetheless, though, I don't want to point anything out, you know. So I think, for me, feel honored sometimes, even though I don't care how long I've been with the Lord. I don't know how you guys get, but I get really excited about the fact I heard from Him. You know, and it's like, you know, a blind squirrel gets an acorn now and then, and that's me. You know, I feel like that, you know, hey, man, I actually heard from the Lord this week. It's really encouraging to me. So it's like this morning, worship was nothing more than a confirmation to me that I've been hearing from God this past week and the last couple of weeks, actually. And that's not saying I haven't heard from Him before that, but it's really cool when He confirms it in the service that you're attending at the time. And it's been, for me, that's, if nothing else, I feel like this morning was all about me this morning, me and Jesus, right? So I don't even care if you guys are here. I want to share with you something that might encourage you. It goes along with everything with worship this morning, and I really want you to walk away from here knowing that whatever may be transpiring in your life, God's heart towards you does not change. And that God is good all the time. And that He's always at work in our life. And so we get caught up sometimes in some things, and circumstantially we begin to wonder if He is. And that's the reality of it. And I want to just encourage you. Nah, He is definitely involved and working in your life. And at the moment you may not understand it, but there may become a time where He allows you to have some understanding of what's happening. But regardless, He's still good, right? So let me ask you guys this before we delve into it a little bit. Have you ever wondered why there's no portraits of Jesus? You ever wonder why that is? No selfies. He didn't have that selfie stick. Can you imagine Jesus with a selfie stick? I'm now in Jerusalem. And then, of course, you have all the photo bombers, you know, they're in the back going. I can imagine. I think the Lord kind of takes that, you know, takes humor in our attitudes. But it's like even this morning, I told Kirk, I saw Kirk in the hallway, I said, I forgot my selfie stick. You know, because it seems like we all want to keep everybody else up to speed about where we go, like we're that important. Right? So I'm at Chipotle. And the point is, right? It's like, and they're all selfies, and you're smiling. Never did you get a bad meal at Chipotle. It's always good stuff, and that kind of makes everybody else want to be with you at Chipotle. So it's just an interesting way we are. It's a world that we live in now that is completely foreign to what I grew up like. So I grew up like this. I don't want nobody to know my business. That's how we grew up, man. That's for us. Everything, hey, man, you don't need to know my business. Only a very few people in my life knew what really was going on in my life. Now everybody wants everybody to know everything about them. Right?
Yeah.
All right, so it's interesting, though, that in all of that, we don't have a portrait of Jesus. Now, we see pictures of Jesus depicted everywhere, but I don't know where they got them from. I have a portrait of Jesus in my mind. He's a guy that's hanging out on the beach in flip-flops. Right? He's a man after my own heart. He preached down by the ocean. I like that about him. I'm glad that Jesus did not preach in the mountains of Alaska, because it makes me think that heaven's going to be somewhat like that beach. Right? Oh, yeah, man. He knows. But here's what happens to us. Think about it like this. With all of the things, the multimedia, all of the media, forms of media that we have today, it really sometimes limits your capacity to imagine. There's nothing to imagine. It's all there. It's done for you. But God gave us something that if we were students of it, would give us a picture of who Jesus is. But it takes some work on our part to see it, or to see him. And what he gave us was his word. His word was given to us so that we could have the image of who Jesus Christ is. And that in understanding that, he would give you encouragement in times of despair. So, I want you to think about that this morning. There's a reason why he didn't give you a photograph of who he is, but he gave you something even more significant. He gave you his word. And then that word, have you ever described someone? I remember when I first started dating Monica, and I'm at work, and here again, though, this is long before Facebook or all of the other books that are out there, right? Twitter, a whole deal, right? I'm telling the guys at work, I have met this young lady, and that I think that she is totally deceived because she likes me. I just met with a friend of mine. I'll just share this with you. He's an assistant school superintendent in Canton City Schools. Guy I played baseball with. We're having lunch a couple of weeks ago. Haven't seen him in probably about 15 years. He sits down and the greeting gets done, and it's all ties together, by the way. And so it's like he gets up, we're sitting in there, and he goes, hey, how are you and Monica doing? I said, you know, because it's always iffy when you haven't seen somebody for that long, or you know, it's like, well, are you still married? Yeah, well, how is Monica doing? She's doing good. He goes, you know, all of us wondered how sweet Monica ended up with you. I feel like praying right there. You just gotta go, thank you, Jesus. So I'm sharing with these guys at work, where I worked at the time, what she looked like. I'm trying to paint a word picture for them so that when they see her, oh, I know you. Because Gary painted a word picture that was accurate enough so that when they seen her, they were able to identify that's Gary's girlfriend. Isn't that crazy? Jesus said this. Didn't he say this? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Yeah. Right? In the world today, and what we're talking about is that there's been a sense of diminishing of the importance of the world and emphasis placed on other things that tend to be a little bit more soothing to the soul. But understand this, if you're about to go through something in life, you better know Jesus. If you don't know him today and you're going through things in life, let me tell you something. You need to know Jesus.
Come on, I'm up.
Right? I want to read to you Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10. I've got the Amplified for you because we all have this idea of what Christianity is. And I had it too as well. But I, you know, it's always, you know, what's the real source of offenses? You know what the real source of offenses are? Unmet expectations. I had expectations. You didn't meet those expectations, so I'm offended. So sometimes we come into Christianity, those of us who have been born again, and we come into Christianity thinking something about what Christianity is or what the life of a Christian is, and then suddenly those expectations many times aren't met, and we get offended. But understand this, is that God's heart is this, that he would reveal his Son to you. Just as Jesus said this, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You and I, for us in our life, an objective of the Lord is this, is that you would know him and that you would have that deep relationship with him, that you could recognize him in the midst of a storm. Right? I know. I just mentioned storm. For a Christian, if we have all the right formulas, right, and all the right things, you'll never go through a storm. See, this is us, man. You know, I'm telling you right now, man has wanted to be God from the beginning. That was the temptation in the garden. You eat of this fruit, and you're going to be just like him. And then as a result of that, you won't need him. And so we go like this, well, that's not good. Well, we understand that because that's Christianese. See, so when we come into a Christian, when we become a Christian, right away, what happens to us if we're not careful, we start thinking formulas. If I do this and if I do that, then I get this result. You guys ever been there before? Oh, I've been there before. Say, look, if I do these things, now there are certain truths to God's word, or certain things in God's word that he says exactly that. Honor your mother and your father. This is good for you, right? So there's truth in those things, but in every lie, there's an element of truth. So here's what happens to us is this. We think, okay, I'm looking for a 10-step program to change my life. If I follow these steps, then at the end of those steps, then I get this result. If I follow these steps, I'm going to say this. I said, if I follow these steps, then what's going to happen to me is I'm going to be wealthy and healthy. And wise. What would you say? Back to the altar again. But it's what happens to us. And then when we don't get that result, we get a little disappointed. And then we start to think something's wrong with me. Maybe I didn't get that formula right. Something I'm not. I like this idea like this. You didn't pray the right words. I tried that too. I once had a guy tell me this. He said, did you say the sinner's prayer when you got saved? It freaked me out. Because nobody ever told me a sinner's prayer. I'm telling you right now, man, I thought I was me and the Lord were, I mean, I've been born again, man, the Lord has saved my soul. I'm thankful that he saved my soul. And this guy walked to me and said, did you say the sinner's prayer? What is that? I asked him that, what is that? And he goes, oh, yeah, here we got one. I'm like, what in the world? I said, I don't know what to do. So he's telling me what that is. I said, well, he goes, well, tell me about your salvation experience. I said, well, here's what mine was. Different probably from many of you. Because God knew what he was dealing with. Right? So I was radically saved. And so what happened to me was when I went forward in this Baptist church and I got saved, they, fire and brimstone, not here in Alliance, fire and brimstone, man, and fire was coming down and brimstone as well. And I got saved. I went forward in the altar because that's what happens. You get saved at the church at the altar. Waited for an altar call. At that particular moment of time, that window of time, I ran forward. I fell on my knees. I started crying out to God. I said no words because I couldn't talk. Then I couldn't get up because the folks were piled on to me. Not lying. And I remember the pastor at the time. His name is Jimmy Holbrook. I don't know if he's still with us or not, but I remember Jimmy worked through the crowd, reached down, and he goes, "Gary." And I'm just relieved, because really what happened to me, the Lord met me when I stood up. Where the wrestling match was at was when I was sitting on the seat. And then when he said, "Time to receive Jesus," I didn't give myself a second thought at that moment. I'm going forward. And the Lord met me right then. He was, at the first time in my life, I experienced what a good, good father was. He walked with me to the altar. I fell crumbling before him in knowing that, man, he is just, I don't know what's happening to me. All I know is this. I sense and I'm experiencing something that prior to that I have never experienced before in my life. And I'm crying before God. And then Jimmy leads through there. He goes, "Gary, do you feel anything yet?" I don't even know how to respond to that. So I said like this. I went, "No." He put my head. He said, "Stay down there." I said, "What?" It's about to get real in here, apparently. I was like, I'm going, wow, man. He got, it's like one of these things where they have been waiting for so long for me to come forward. They were not letting me get up until it was real. Right? They were really wanting that man. The Lord saved this heathen. Like, man, he's the worst of the worst. He's, oh, yeah, yeah. And they put their hammer down. But the thing was, is this, is that what I appreciated about them, they never painted a portrait of Jesus saying this, that when I come to know him, that my life here on this earth is going to be my perfect life. No bones about it. All I cared about was this, that I knew this. He has just saved me from a destiny of being apart from him and being in hell for the rest of all of eternity. It's all I cared about. It wasn't until later I started putting expectations on it. Well, Lord, now that you saved me, I'd like to have that mansion here on this earth. I'd like to have no troubles, right? But what happens to us is this. For me, I had to learn, and I'm continuing to learn, is this, is that God is desiring to reveal his heart to me. He's wanting to, as the word was given this morning, he's wanting to heal emotional scars in my life that have transpired as a result of things that have been done to me and have happened to me. He's come to set me free. I'm saved, I'm born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in these things, and he's still saying, "Gary, there's other things in your life that I need to do in your life to set you free." To, am I walking in shady territory right now, Rhea? Rhea said he left his building up here so because he knows I stretched the truth a little bit. All right. Are we still okay? Do I need to go in here yet? Okay, all right. But all I know is this, is that for me, I appreciate that about him. Because there are thought processes in my life, there are things in my life that literally are not of him, that he's removing from me. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 is having my mind transformed or renewed by his word, right? So, in Isaiah chapter 50, and I've got the amplified version of this. How much more time I got? That was the introduction. The folks from our church know that. He's just getting started. So hopefully the hot dogs don't get burnt. Are they cooking them right now? Carcinogens are all right if you just eat a little bit of it. But nonetheless, though, all right. Isaiah 50, verse 10, it says this. Who is among you who reverently fears the Lord, who obeys the voice of his servant, yet who walks in darkness? What? Huh? And deep trouble, and has no shining splendor in his heart. Let him rely on, trust in, and be confident in the name of the Lord, and let him lean upon and be supported by his God. Here's what you see here. What I see anyway is this, is that you can be walking in obedience and still walk in darkness. And in fact, in some cases, God's leading you into darkness. Not darkness of understanding. He's either leading you. Do I need to go to the room yet?
No.
You're doing good. Okay, all right. Well, I'll go there. I don't have a problem with it because, you see, it's not what you know or who you know or what you know, but who you know, right? I know Jesus and what he's doing in my life. The Word of God has confirmed it, but I also... I'm understanding the fact that, man, I know that I have been in dark places in my life and probably will be going in some dark places in the future. But I know there's one who carries me through them. I go through the valley, the shadow of death, right? That sounds to me like a dark place. Just saying. So I'm challenging your theology this morning, challenging your perspective, and maybe confirming what you already know. But I know this. That I'm looking at this word here, right, and it's just jumping out at me. And he's saying this, that those who obey his voice yet are still walking in darkness and trouble. You're doing everything you believe that you need to do, but yet everything around you is falling apart. You've prayed to the Lord. You did this. I've done this. Look, let me tell you something. If I wrote a book, it would be the least selling book on Amazon's top 100. I did this. I go to Berean, or at the time it was Berean, now it's Lifeway. You go there and you buy these books and it says, you make a stand for the Lord, I'm summarizing, and the Lord's going to bless you. I make a stand for the Lord and the Lord goes silent. But Lord, I thought that's what you wanted me to do. He goes, well, yeah. Isn't that what we do? It's like, so I'm like, but the book at Lifeway said that if I did this, then you would do this. Then I started wondering, does God have stepchildren in heaven? I know that because that's what I am. I know how that works. Is that what he's doing? Because he remains silent. See, sometimes even when Jesus says this, I love about forgiveness, that's your duty. Don't expect God to give you an attaboy because you forgave somebody something. Right? I mean, look, Lord, look how you're working in my life. I forgave that guy for cutting me off. And the Lord's going, well, that's what you're supposed to do. How about that for encouragement? Right? So we think about these things, and that's what we sometimes think. Obedience leads to God being so tickled with us and so privileged with us that, man, I'm just going to go ahead and give him all kind of blessings. God's going, hey, obey my word. How about that? Your reward is in heaven. Don't be giving me that wiggle. In our family, it's called the buddy wiggle. And some of you might know who my brother is. And when all... you might want to move the camera back. Because I told him that if I moonwalk, Kirk said he has to move the camera back to get it on picture, right? But wait till like when you're frustrated, you're just going to... It's not the earthquake, it's been a tremor. Right? But think about that. Man, look, Lord, okay, here's the thing, Lord. Here's what I want, is that I want to be able to be, regardless of expectations, centered upon your will in my life. And that, you know what, when darkness comes or troubles come, because Jesus said this, did he not say that in this life you'll have much trouble? But be of good cheer, because he's overcome the world. We are so driven towards comfort and security and safety that we're willing to compromise our position many times to obtain those things. Right. And the Lord's going, no. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things be added unto you. I brought with me a little object lesson, this flashlight. All right. This flashlight, I think, is awesome. I bought this thing about 2 years ago. It's cool, man. It's got all these big bulbs in there, man. It's like it's a LED light. I haven't had to use it once. but it's in my house, right? But I set it here just like this right here. I set it here, and I really don't appreciate it for what it can do for me. But one day, if power goes out, or if I need that, then I'll really appreciate it. That's when I really need that light. See, sometimes the simple process of darkness that's happening in our life is that the Lord is trying to show us how much we need and need to rely upon the light of the world. Right? I need him. It's only when I get in trouble a lot more when I can see what I'm doing. Because then I tell the Lord, I got this. Oh, no, I'm cool. Right there. I know that's what you meant. And then the Lord's going, you got to be kidding me. Right? Then that's when he gets that big stage hook out. Get back here. But I thought, because I was operating under my own understanding. See, so the Lord allows for things in my life to learn to help me, to teach me to walk with him, to lean on him, to trust him. And he's saying this, is that his word is, as the word was given this morning, a lamp unto my feet. I'm struggling. Now, here's what happens to you, or here's what happens to me. Let's not lose sight of the fact that the word is not an intellectual exercise. As I said from the beginning, the word is Christ and has been manifested to us. 1 John 1 through 3. Jesus is the word. It's not, he didn't write a book about something. It's who he is. And that when I start to search the word, when I'm looking for the word, so one of the things I prayed years ago whenever I really began to start seeking after the Lord, because I was told one day that I was going to be going through a storm in my life and that I'm going to have to hang on to the Lord to make it. That's a nice prophecy. That came from Rayo. Truth. Hey, when Rayo calls you crying, you know you're in trouble. So that's why I never go forward. When people are giving people words, I don't go forward. I just have somebody else tell me, right? So what happens to us is this, is that when you begin to pursue the Lord, what happened for me, for us, to be able to move past an intellectual exercise, so Lord, I want to know you. That's what the songs are, right? I want to know you. Then the Lord says, I start searching in my word, you will find me. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you, right? We tie that right to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When we're saying seek, find, and you will, I mean, you're going to find. The Lord says this, seek, he loves those who diligently seek him. Is that what he says? Now look here, I'm not going to diligently seek him in Nathan's life. Although that's wonderful that God's working in his life. I've always been this. It's great he's working in Nathan's life, but what about me? I love it when God's, these testimonies of people sharing how God moved in their life and how that he did this. Look, Lord, I appreciate hearing those stories, but I want to know for myself. I'm not that guy that wants and loves the fact that somebody else has got all these things happening to them in their life and the Lord's moving in their life and I'm excited for the fact that that's happening. I get excited for them for the moment, but then I go like this, what about me? I first started reading the New Testament and looked at those guys in the New Testament saying Peter, James, John, Paul, all these guys had a relationship with the Lord that was deep and intimate. And the Lord, I started looking at the Lord saying, look, Lord, if they have that with you and they were able to experience that with you, then I want that. You said you're not a respecter of persons, that you love us all the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he revealed himself to Paul like he did, then I believe that the Lord wants to reveal himself to us the same way. If he saw David as saying, look, David is a man after my own heart, then, Lord, I want to be categorized like that. Then let me tell you something. Buckle up, Spanky. You're about ready to go for a ride. I love that saying. I try to shoehorn that in every message. I love this, man. When I teach the fatherhood classes, I tell these guys, pull your pants up and be a man. Right? You got them droopy drawers going on and stuff like that. I say, look here. It's about to be real, right? Whenever I'm pursuing the Lord, listen, let me tell you something. When you're pursuing the Lord and you're being serious about it, you're going to now get real. So it's not for the faint-hearted. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force, right? The kingdom of God does not have a bunch of dainty people just kind of cruising through. I'm talking about, again, I'm not making a judgment on somebody. So look, there are people who are serious, man. There's a remnant in every generation.
Amen.
And it's like, look, that remnant say, look, Lord, that I may touch the hem of your garment. That I'm not going to settle for what has been told to me what Christianity is. Don't really care about that. All I know is this. You have promised that those who diligently seek you will find you.
Come on.
Is that right? You're going to have to go through stuff. How many of you guys been in the military before? The rest of you. Aspire to be us. Right? All right, you guys are going, you got to be kidding me. Let me tell you something. I like this. You go in something, but then you come out a soldier. And what's in between really does stink. But if you want to be that soldier, you got to embrace the suffering. Right? Lord, we're over here. Lord, I know you're committed to me of shaping and molding the character of your son in me. I want intimacy with you. How much you want it? Are you willing to crawl over glass to get to it? Are you willing to do what the lady did? Crawl through. I loved her angle. She didn't walk through the crowd. She was on her hands and knees crawling through the crowd that she might touch the hem of his garment. And would not be denied. Those are our spiritual fathers and mothers. I love that. They're not 2016 fathers and mothers. They were the dogs of the day. Right? It's like, that's a compliment for you folks. I like that. But Jesus says this. He tells us, though, in Scripture, look at this. I'm going to move through this pretty quickly, I think. I'm not real confident, but I'm going to think about it. John chapter 5, verse 39. Darkness is going to come. The Word of God is going to be your light. It is a lamp unto your feet. These are things that are absolutely critical. But I'm not reading the Word of God for head knowledge. Right? It's not what you know, it's who you know. I love when Jesus said this, you'll be witnesses to me. It's not, I don't want you running around out there talking about something you don't know anything about. I want you to share your life that what he's doing in you, you sometimes have to use words. You sometimes have to use words, but the light of the Lord is shining in your life without words. He's in you. You cannot light something up and then put a, you know, Jesus doesn't light something up and then put a bushel basket over the top of it so nobody can't see the light. Let that light shine forth. I love that little old song. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Right? Those kids are awesome this morning, too, by the way. They did a really, really good job. John chapter 5, verse 39 says this, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are which testify of who? So the scribes and the Pharisees, here they are, they're searching scripture. They think they got something. They got a hold of something. They're full of knowledge. But Jesus is saying, look, you search the scriptures, but they testify of me. Right? So I'm searching the scripture. I'm not looking, searching in the scripture. I prayed and asked God, so look, Lord, I desire to know your heart in your word. So the Bible, again, as I'm telling you, is a portrait of who Jesus Christ is. So you start reading Scripture from the context as, where is Jesus in that particular passage? Where's his heart in that? It's like finding Elmo. Only it's Jesus. Right? So I'm just not reading Scripture for the sake of reading it. I'm reading it because it's the source of my life. I got to know, Jesus, what are you saying in this passage? Make it sense to you? But Jesus is telling us that this is what exactly what he's saying. He said, look, they testify of me. Look at Luke chapter 24, verse. I'm going to read this particular passage because I think it's us. Because when we lose sight in what was talked about this morning, when we're seeing around us what's happening to our country, what's happening in the world, despair can settle in. Newsflash, you're not in heaven. Don't try to make heaven here on this earth. Is that right? Jesus said, you're in this world, but you're not of it. I like that. Strangers, sojourners, pilgrims. You guys ever been in a place where you are just passing through? How much attachment do you get to that place? I was in Europe for 3 years. Let me tell you something. I was a stranger passing through. Nothing in that place was going to be something that I desired to stay with. We used to say this when we were coming back to the States. We said this, we're coming back to the world. We felt like we were on another planet and had no intentions of staying. I'm just telling you. God's children are on another planet. You are operating in a kingdom that has rule over your life, but this world is operating in their own rule. You're the significant difference between them and him. That sounds weird, doesn't it? I'm trying to think about that for a little bit. But understand that God's kingdom, we're in this world, but we're not of it. I submit myself to his rule first and foremost and operate in this world. Don't grow attached to it. 24, verse, I'm going to read verse, I believe. Let's go back there and make sure I got the right passage or right chapter because sometimes I do that. All right. Look at verse 23. Let's just bump up to there. And it says this, when they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, oh, foolish ones. Now, again, this is the road to Emmaus. And he's talking to these guys who are walking on the street, who are heading, they're walking down the road, and they're discouraged. They're completely discouraged by the circumstances by which the naked eye has just witnessed. They saw their king just crucified, who they were convinced was going to establish his kingdom here on this earth. Right? Then everything they thought was going to happen did not happen. That's my life. You guys ever feel like this? Look, man, I thought this was going to happen. Wow. Had no idea that's what was going to happen. I just was with some guys this past week, and I was talking to them about this, where I know guys like this who have said this. I prayed for certain things, and those things that I prayed for, is those things have happened exactly the way I thought they were going to happen. Good for them. Because everything I have prayed for, nothing has happened the way I thought it was going to happen. So you guys right away are going, I don't want to know his God. But here's what's happening here. These guys are saying this in a sense. They're saying the very same thing. Look, we are walking in some, you think they're walking in some dark times right now? I think they're walking in some dark times. Discouragement, despair has really settled in. Fear has overcome them. They don't know what to do. Look what Jesus says here. Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart, to believe in all the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? It's like part of this was when Jesus walks up, verse 18 through 19, Jesus asked these guys, I got to read this because it's absolutely confirming to me that Jesus has a sense of humor. Let me read this. Then those whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happen here these days?" Because Jesus is asking these guys, "What's your problem? What's going on, little fella?" And they're going, "Man, are you the only guy around that doesn't know what's happened?" And then Jesus goes, "What?" He's got a sense of humor, man. He didn't let them know. He's like, "Really, tell me." Now, he didn't lie. He just kind of baited him a little bit. "Tell me." And they began to start singing this song and dance, man. "Woe is me. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley." Right? This is what they're doing to him. And he's going like this. He kind of puts up with it for a while. And then he goes like this. He bumps it. Verse 20. "Oh, you foolish ones. Slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken." I would say the climate of that conversation changed right then. Wouldn't you think? Uh-oh. We got an issue. I don't know if you guys have been like that before, but I've definitely been in the company of some guys, and I know that's happened. "Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" He's given them perspective. Then he goes on to read. "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning" who? If you're struggling, if you're in despair, get in the scriptures to find those things that concern him and be encouraged by that. See, we can be encouraged by the things that are happening in this world because we know that Christ is in it. Right? Somebody didn't tell me that. You can talk to me all day long, but I got to know it for sure myself. I've got to know that God's plan for my life, regardless of the circumstances that I might be finding myself in at the moment, are for good and not evil. Is that right? That he is faithful to finish the work that he's begun in me, regardless of what I might feel at the moment. That's a trail that I could be flying down. Because God's people need to be more committed to the Lord than through just emotions only. I love my wife. There's not sometimes a whole lot of feelings in it. We used to have a whole lot of warm fuzzies in the beginning. Isn't that right, dear? She still has them. But, you know, if you've been married for any period of time, those feelings go away, don't they? Then you start looking at your spouse going, she does that to me. She, like Kirk said, "What happened to your hair?" I had a little kid, a project store where we work at. The little kid asked me, "Did you cut your hair like that?" That's exactly what I said. "Look here, man. He who falls upon the rock will be broken." Sometimes God uses people to break you, right? Thinking too highly of yourself? Let the little kid speak to you. "Do you cut your hair like that?" I said, "Yeah, I do." In the world? What? You guys understand this, though, man, for crying out loud. It's like, oh, my gosh. The Lord is kind with us. But the thing for us is this, is that if I'm operating my walk with the Lord all based on emotions or feelings, then the reality of it is I'm probably going to be shipwrecked pretty quickly. Because what happens to us is when we're going through dark times, when we have gone through dark times, there's not really a whole lot of feelings in there. That's when I need that flashlight, because I don't know what else to do but to hang on to the Lord. And he is silent. He's not filling me with warm Holy Spirit bubbles. It's like, you know how I love it whenever you're experiencing God's presence in worship. Isn't it awesome? Or in prayer. It's awesome to me when God manifests his presence on his, just on our behalf. He just says, look, I want to draw near to you. God was certainly doing that for me this morning. But that's not probably the majority of my walk with the Lord. In fact, it happens very seldom. I love to live on the mountaintop. But the Lord has a little way of dealing with me. And there I go tumbling down into the valley again. You know what I mean? It's like, I just get up there going, yes, Lord. And then I feel this Holy Spirit kick in my back. When you're talking about that, yeah. Free falling. That's where that song came from. I'm free falling. Right? I'm heading back down to the pit because down in the valley, that's where you grow. He's committed to me. But all I do is this. The only thing I can do, despite what I may be feeling, despite what I might be going through, I've got to hang on to the promises of the Lord. Hang in there. And maybe the feelings will come. But understand this. Every person in this room is guaranteed difficulties. Ryan, I lost you, man.
Oh, sorry.
They brought me all the way from North Canton to give you guys a word of encouragement, Thorne. Life's going to stink. I'm glad you come to know Jesus because it's going to get bad. Come to Jesus and get your worst life now. That book's going to fly off the shelf. Hallelujah. I'll be on TBN next week. So anyway, so now, it's like, you guys understand. So look, all I know is this. But what he does is he changes you. I love the fact that today, whenever we were worshiping, you know, we're going through some things or decisions that we're making in our own personal life at this point. And what I felt like this morning was that he's a friend that's just closer than a brother. I know that. I want to know it to a greater degree. I really do. But all I know is this. This morning, when worship, it was very difficult for me for worship this morning. It was very difficult because I felt like I would like for all of you to leave now. You guys ever get there that way with the Lord where it's just you and him? And it's like, man, look, Lord, I don't want anybody else in the room right now. There are times with my wife, believe me, you must leave. I'm just telling you, don't, no mental picture, nothing. Just leave. Because I want my time with her. This morning in worship, the Lord was drawing close to me, and I literally had this desire to ask, could everybody leave? Honestly, man, it's like, I just want to be with him. Because he's a friend of mine that has shown me that regardless of what I'm going through in my life, he cares about me. Not in a goofy way, but a friend way. Look, Gary, I want to see you make it. I'm going to hold you up in this. This is going to be so hard on you. Your legs are going to buckle, but I'm going to hold you up. We've gone through things in our life, and like I said before, is that, man, my legs have buckled, and I have felt like he wasn't there, but he has been and continues to be there for me.
Amen.
And that, so when these times of worship begin to take place, honestly, Kirk told me yesterday, you know what he told me yesterday or Friday? I'm telling you guys. He goes, Gary, this is how the service goes. He goes, worship is long. And I go, what am I going to do for that time? I didn't tell Kirk that, but I told my wife that. Wow. Well, there you go. Sometimes. Uh-oh. Can I read this last verse? Luke 22, verse 31 through 32. I pray this is encouraging you this morning. Rachel, I'm getting to the best part. when I'm over. Right? I was telling that. She goes, how are you feeling? I'll feel better when it's over. Celeste, all right. Verse 22. This is Jesus talking to Peter. This is what I think we sometimes think. I was just watching a documentary on Navy SEALs. Love that stuff. Absolutely love it. The camaraderie, the brotherhood. This stuff is like, to me, candy. Chocolate candy. I eat it up. I love it. When you don't have family, you desire it. I grew up with a dysfunctional situation. I thrive in that environment. I love that all for one for all stuff. I love it. So I'm hearing these Navy SEALs talk, and they're talking about this. When we get to the battlefront, the political stuff goes away. And all I care about is getting my brother home. I love that. It's not about self-preservation. It's about how do I get my brother home who has no skin color. See, as Christians, I believe that's the heart of Christ for his body. Lord, what can I do to help my brothers and my sisters make it? I'm not focused on me, but what can I do for them? Isn't that what Paul said in Philippians? It's for your benefit. He'd rather check out. But I'm here for your benefit. That is awesome to me. But look what he says here in Luke chapter 22. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. That sounds to me like some dark times are coming. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. There's not an if in there. Is there? Oh, Peter, I hope you're made of the right stuff. And if so, then maybe you can be of some encouragement to your brothers. He didn't say that, did he? He saw something in Peter that Peter didn't see in himself, but it took the storm to reveal it. See, sometimes we need darkness in our life to reveal us, to see what we're made of. I like what Oswald Chambers talks about is this, is that in those particular situations, it is not true to say that God wants to teach us something in our trial. Through every cloud he brings, he wants for us to unlearn something. Right? I like that. His purpose in the cloud is to simplify our belief until our relationship to him is exactly that of a child. I love this. When this morning, when the kids were dismissed, I'm going to tell you something right now. There's no greater honor than being a grandparent. Some of the grandparents know what I'm talking about. And then when my granddaughter reaches out her hand for my hand, I am walking on sunshine. I really am. It's like, oh, look, man. But she's sitting next to Monica all during worship. I'm going, man, I want Monica to move. I want me some of that action, right? It's like, but, you know, the thing is, though, that when she's walking, she has her hand in my hand going to class. She's confident. She's courageous while having that touch. It's the same thing for us. When we know the Lord is there, he's got us, it gives us confidence and courage to face whatever we may be facing. So this morning, if you don't know the Lord, then what I'm talking to you may be foreign. But what the Lord wants you to do and what he wants for you is exactly what we're talking about. He wants you to know him and to know him accurately. And so that you can be just like these little guys up here saying, he loves me, that's who I am. He's a good, good father. And I want you to know him as much as I know him, but I want to know him as much as you know him. Right? We're all in this together. And if you're a Christian this morning and you're going through some dark times, I know that the Lord wants you to be encouraged. that in those times, just trust and rely upon him, and he will see you through it. And that his word is a lamp to our feet, and it will guide you through it. We good?